Good morning. By God's help, we're going to talk about hunger. And we surely need his help. Would you join us as we ask him to bless us? Amen. Father, our Father, Father from everlasting to everlasting,
yes, thank the Lord.
The beginning and the ending. We ask you that you would please help us here today. May we all be blessed. May you give your word success.
Yes, Lord.
And may you reign in our midst to touch lives and hearts, to make this message a blessing, even to the children. We need you, Lord. You've helped us in the past, and we ask for your help and assistance now. Holy Spirit, bless and undertake, we ask, these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. There are degrees of hunger. Perhaps every adult here has experienced some degree of hunger in your lifetime. The hunger can range from mild to extreme. Take a child that has been outside playing, riding a bicycle, jumping rope, and running about, and they have some hunger feeling. They go in and say, Mom, could I have some cookies? And she would say, I would rather you had these vegetables you didn't eat last night. And then they could say, Mom, that's all right. I'll wait. Then you could have a man who has been, let's say he's an Oklahoma rancher, and he's been involved in work, and he's been repairing some fence posts and just working hard, and it's 95 degrees, he's sweating, comes in and he's just really feeling hungry. Well, his wife has a pot of stew and some cornbread and other vegetables, and he can just sit down and just really enjoy all that she's prepared. He's really worked up an appetite that excels what the little child was turning down the vegetables. So there are degrees of hunger. And there is a hunger that is extreme that was in a time when there was a besieging. And it's recorded here in 2 Kings, the 6th chapter. And we'll read it, the 24th verse. And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all his host and went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria. And behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove dung. Pretty hungry, extreme, huh? For 5 pieces of silver. And as the king of Israel was passing by upon the wall, there cried a woman unto him, saying, Help, my lord, O king. And he said, If the Lord do not help thee, when shall I help thee? Out of the barn floor or of the wine press? And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, give thy son that we may eat him today. And we will eat my son tomorrow. So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her on the next day, give me thy son that we may eat him. And she had hid him. So can you see the extremity of what hunger can drive people to do or motivate them to do? That is pretty gross, isn't it?
Yes.
The things that are mentioned here of what people was paying for this one, the ass's head and the dove dung, that would be pretty gross, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And then the boiling and eating of a child. So the extremity of hunger can motivate people in extreme ways. Remember the prodigal son, how he had spent his money, and there came a great famine in the land, and he was very hungry, and he was acknowledging, I am perishing of hunger. And so in these, you can imagine perhaps the hunger pains nightly and trying to go to sleep hungry. And finally he come to himself and he began to think about food. He thought about bread that was back at his father's house.
Yes.
Maybe at times when you have been hungry, some particular food would come to your mind, and it would be something that you thought of and maybe craved or wanted. Well, this prodigal was thinking about the bread that was at his father's house, and his father, of course, had plenty of it to eat, and his elder brother had plenty to eat, and even the servants had enough to eat, and there was abundance or more after all had their satisfaction portions, that there was bread to spare. And so as he was thinking of that, and maybe he could remember times at home when he could pass by the area where bread would be preparing in the oven. And have you ever smelled bread cooking in the oven? And the aroma of it floats out. And have you ever had an opportunity to have a fresh slice of good homemade bread? Brother, his great-grandmother was a bread maker. Did you ever get any of your grandmother's bread?
That's probably what started where I am.
So, a fresh slice of bread with good old real butter. Whatever he was thinking about, it was something that caused him to be motivated. And he said, I'm going to arise and I'm going. And he was going to face the possibility of rejection, and his father wouldn't want him to have anything to do with him. But that hunger was motivating him.
Yes.
To get up and go towards home, which he did. And of course, as the story unfolded, he was met not with a push-off, but with an embrace, and the father was so happy that he was home that he had a good steak dinner. And it wasn't just homemade bread, it was steak too. But at any rate, the motivating behind him was hunger.
Yes.
Well, the Word of God, and Some child over here today quoted the scripture we're going to read in Matthew 5. Who was that quoted, "Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness"? Some child did. I think it was a boy. Oh, there he is. Would you quote it for us again? All right. Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. That's a promise.
Yes.
Noticing the importance of the hunger. The reward of hunger here is filling. But preceding the filling, there was a hunger and a thirst.
Yes.
So, would you say if there's no hunger, if there's no thirst, there's no filling?
Yes.
So, the hunger and the thirst for righteousness, they shall be filled. Matthew 5 and 6. So, there are many hungers in the world today, but it isn't all for righteousness.
That's so.
Every time I attend a service in Shawnee, I go by the Fire Lake Gambling Casino. Cars, cars, cars. I think it's probably open 24/7. There is a hunger in people's inner being to win easy money.
Yes.
When they have these mega lotteries, people line up, don't they?
Yes.
To buy the tickets. But that's the wrong kind of hunger.
Yes.
That isn't hungering for righteousness. I listened to Brother Clinton Doolittle preach, and he told about a person that had won one of those mega lotteries. I think it was possibly $300 million. It was a big one. Well, after he won it, problems come in his home, and he ended up committing suicide. So he hungered for the wrong thing. There are those that hunger for great entertainment.
Yes.
And there are those, well, one man or one individual, he said he could be more spiritual if they didn't have sports on Sunday. You know, people are engrossed in that.
Yes.
And I at one time was engrossed in. But can you imagine what a person pays to go for a season ticket for OU? Anybody have any idea what a season ticket would cost? Hundreds of dollars, probably, right?
Probably.
And my niece's son is a fanatic OU fan. And he went to a playoff game in Kansas City when it was very cold. You thought it was cold in this church this morning. And it was at night. And he may stayed out there for all four quarters of it, hungry for the wrong thing, not righteousness. Some people are hungry to make money, and they'll do cheat, steal, what it takes to get money. That's the wrong kind of hunger.
Yes.
That is not a hunger for righteousness. But in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, is a different kind of hunger. Here are some people that wanted the law read to them. In the 8th chapter of Nehemiah, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street. That was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book. Now notice that they requested that the scribe bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. And Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding, upon the first day of the seventh month. And he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning until midday, before men and women and those that could understand, and the ears of all the people were what?
Attentive
unto the book of the law. Now here is some people that had a hunger for the good.
That's right.
Had a hunger for righteousness. They requested that Ezra would read to them the law. And they didn't have comfortable pews to sit down on.
That's right.
Air conditioning or heating, I don't know if it was summer or winter, seventh month. And they stood from when to when?
Morning to midday,
they stood and they listened attentively. Their minds wasn't wandering on what they were going to do later in the day or what they had done yesterday, but they were listening attentively unto the reading of the law. These people had a genuine hunger for something that was good. And they were willing to stand and hear this being read. I took note of Brother Doug in Wichita the day that they give the presentation. And he spoke, either him or her, spoke of a woman. Let me get this right. If I am wrong, correct me. That walked 10 hours. 10 hours. 10 hours. To be, what was the service, or be with the brethren?
Be at the meeting.
And after she had walked the 10 hours, she fainted. Is this correct?
Yes.
10 hours, folks. A woman walked to church to be in a meeting. Would you think she had a good appetite?
Yes.
Was she hungry? I've never walked an hour to get to a service that I can recall. Brother Crawley, W.W. Crawley, used to walk, and I think, didn't he have to go across a log thing to cross some kind of water? Anyway, this woman must have had a hunger. And I was asking about a picture, and they didn't know, didn't have a picture that they could point her out to me. But at any rate, that's outstanding, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
10 hours. You work 8 hours a day and then put 2 more hours on to it. That's a real hunger, isn't it?
Yes.
Very commendable. So, a hunger for righteousness. in this United States of America, that was founded on Bible principles, has a lack of hunger for the unvarnished truth.
Yes.
They can sit and listen to some jokes.
That's right.
And a spattering of truth.
Yes.
But to listen from morning till midday standing, is there a lack of that hunger in our nation today?
There is.
Brother Marty was telling about a place that they got down to 7 people in this, well, it was a man-made church. And so he inquired of a person, and this person told that in 3 years you'll have 25,000. Did anybody hear him say this?
Yes.
You've already heard it. So the 1 year was up and they had their quota. And the next year, the second year, they had their quota. And the third year, they had the 25,000. And the way they got it,
yes,
was giving them what they wanted.
That's right.
They did not, those 25,000 people, a majority of them probably didn't have a real hunger for the unvarnished truth, the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. They had the numbers, but they didn't have all that they needed. And their souls maybe was starving while they were feeding what they were getting off of. They were feeding off of what they were getting. And so, how is your appetite today? There are a lot more people interested in Facebook than they are God's book. I'm going to say it again. A lot more people interested in Facebook than they are God's book.
Yes.
This is the important book, folks. It tells Brother Lauren how to treat Sister Maxine. It tells children that they're to obey their parents. It tells you that we are to live righteous and godly in a millennial age. No. It tells you that we are to live righteous and godly in this present world. Sin-free life. Is it important? Is it more? Can you get these instructions on Facebook? Do you spend more time on Facebook than this book? It tells us we have an enemy. Be sober. Be vigilant. Peter. Because you have an adversary. The devil is going about seeking whom he may devour. The Bible lesson today, saying that we have 70 years of life. And I've excelled over that. If I live to be December the 13th, I'll be 74 years old. I'm on the home stretch.
Yes.
says, teach us to number our days.
Yes, amen.
The lesson this morning, if you missed Sunday school. So that our hearts could be applied to wisdom. God, give me wisdom to know that the days that I have ahead of me are much fewer than what is behind me. And to all of us, we don't know how long our days will be. And I was reminded during the Sunday school of something that I saw on a tombstone. As you are now, so once was I.
Yes.
As I am now, you too will be. Where will you spend eternity? And this book tells about what will happen to those who do not have their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. Revelations 20. And the devil, 20 and 10. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets. You know, false prophets are going to have an end that is not pleasant. Are and shall be tormented day and night forever. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great. You don't see this on Facebook, do you? Stand before God. And the books were opened. You know, every one of us today is in this scene.
That's right.
You are in this scene. The Word of God is painting the picture of today. Every one of us.
Yes.
Our names isn't in the Bible, but we are all in this scene right here in Revelations. You're part of it. I'm part of it. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written on Facebook. Huh? Written in the book according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Would you say this book is more important? Telling you how to live. Telling you that we are to live righteous and godly in 2012. Oh yes, wickedness is much more prominent than righteousness. Real, true, genuine righteousness is on the scarce side. But wickedness is rampant. But it says that we are to live righteous in this present world.
Yes.
Important. There are thousands and millions of people that believe that there is going to be a reign in this world after. Not so, folks. Not so. It's going to have to be here in the now, the present and the now. And then it tells what is happening to those who fail to repent, have their sins under the blood, and be able to have their name in the book of life. 395 deals with the importance of the Word of God. May we have a regard for God's Word.
Yes, amen.
It's weighed and found wanting. Is there anybody here that's good at drawing? Any?
Linda is.
Linda? Would you come up and draw a scale for us? Adjust a scale. Uh-huh. And if you could put a stick in the balance and one on the Word of God, another, and then you could tell that the Word of God is beautiful.
Okay.
Preachers could sure use artistic talents, but and some have them. All right, 395. Weighed in the balance of justice true. There have been in our courts in this country sentences put on people that was not just, right?
Yes.
Is everyone in prison today there because of what they have been accused of? Not everybody has, and they found out years and years later sometime that the person they've had in jail was not guilty. They didn't have justice give to them. And they were released. But in this particular weighed in the balance of justice, it's going to be accurate, isn't it? It's going to be an accurate justice given out. Sinful, the path thou hast trod. Weighed and found wanting, will it be you? Weighed by the Word of God. Weighed by this. There it will hurt like a wounded dart. When this dread answer shall fall, weighed and found wanting,
yes,
'twill pierce the heart at the last judgment call. There was a man in the Bible, a wicked king. His name was Belshazzar.
Yes.
And this wicked king had some sacred vessels brought to this big party he was having. Drinking and who knows what all was taking place at the party. But as the party was in progress, probably people was not altogether sober from what they had taken into their system. In the midst of this big party, a finger appeared, beginning to write. And no one could understand what the writing meant, said. Daniel was called, and he was able to interpret the writing. And part of that was, you're weighed and found wanting.
Yes.
And he was told of what the judgment was going to be. Here he was. God's scale. Him down here. Weighed. Everyone will be weighed against the Word of God. Serious, isn't it?
Yes.
To be down here and the Word up here. Won't be a good feeling.
No.
You see the importance of this? There it will hurt like a wounded dart at the last judgment call. Weighed by the word which is given now. Search it and know it is pure. Unto its mandates, not people's opinions, not what you think's right. Unto its mandates in meekness bow, then thou shalt be secure. At the tribunal where Christ is judge. Sister McDonald tells about her husband was in violation, and he chose, to go to court and appear before the judge. And as the judge addressed him, he said, "How do you plead?" Brother McDonald said, "Mercy." The judge asked the same question over. "How do you plead?" He said, "Mercy." The judge said, "Get out of my courtroom." He left a free man. It won't be that way here. At the tribunal where Christ is judge, where every deed is made known, weighed and found wanting, each guilty soul stands there before the throne. Weighed and found wanting. Weighed and found wanting. Weighed and found wanting. Rejected. Not at the door of the church, but rejected from heaven. So, it pays to hunger and thirst after righteousness, folks. It pays to have that your top priority.
Yes.
There are a lot of things that can be junk food, and it'll spoil a person's appetite for real, genuine truth and food. If you start your day eating donuts and ding-dongs and other sweets, and at lunchtime you eat hot dogs and what's some more junk food?
French fries.
I like French fries. But when it comes supper time, are you going to want real food? People are feeding on junk food. And you know, people can get food poison. I was just talking with my nephew this week, and he may have had a touch of food poisoning. These false prophets that are deceiving people by the hundreds and thousands are feeding people poison, food poison. Remember, Jim Jones had people so wrapped around him, he was such a false prophet, he had people drinking poison.
That's right.
And they're in eternity today. A lot of people are eating food that is contaminated with false. And they are dying or spiritually dead.
Yes.
Hunger and thirst after righteousness. You got a hunger and thirst.
Yes.
Do we have motivation? How is your appetite? Is it like it was? Is it poor? Is it good? Is there no appetite? One lady that had formerly had a good appetite, her daughter come to me when I was working in the home. And still was involved in the home. And she was concerned because her mother that had once had such a good appetite, she didn't want to eat. It's possible to lose your appetite for spiritual and eternal things. Check your appetite today. Do you want the whole book or pick and choose? Check your appetite. Is it poor? Is it nothing? I'm going to commend Sister Carla. I think I was in Florida one time at a meeting, and the meeting was ended or going to end, and she wished it could go on.
Mm-hmm.
How many people like for the revival? Well, they used to have 3-week ones, didn't they?
Yes.
And now it's 5 nights and 2 times on Sunday or whatever. May God help us that we will have a hunger and thirst for spiritual and eternal things, folks.
Yes.
Where your heart is, there's your treasure. Do you treasure the spiritual and eternal things that are important in life and important in eternity? May God help us today to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Father, our Father, we need your help. We're in a world, in an environment around and about in our world that is not favorable to righteousness. Children in public schools, men and women on public jobs have to be around environments. And how many go to higher education, believe in one thing, and come out distorted? Lord, we need help. Help us to have an appetite for spiritual and eternal things. The things down here that loom so important, so demanding, are just temporary, fleeting, when eternal things is forever and ever and ever. Help us to pay attention to those things, to desire them. If there's anyone here that doesn't have a hunger and thirst for righteousness, create within them a desire for the things of God. Bless these children. Every one of them needs you, Lord. Help them to get a hold of what's really important in life. It's more important than job. It's more important than education. It's more important than marriage, homes and cars. The eternal things that's forever is the thing that's important. Bless us one and all. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.